Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and
missives. There's a smell in
here. Special message for all the kids watching at home.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is...
You good?
Well, just a little odiferous in here. This is Wretched Radio. Please send articles, stories, sermons, anything wretched to idea@wretched.org. If you don't, I wouldn't find ironic stories like this one. Headline, Newark Mayor, as in New Jersey, Newark Mayor compares himself to biblical hero in wake of ICE protest and arrest. This is the Democratic mayor from Newark who decided he doesn't like what's happening regarding immigration, so he protested and apparently illegally trespassed at an ICE facility. He was actually arrested for it. And then he came out to explain, quote, "This is our David moment." Many of us miss our David moment. Okay, what is so ironic about this? Well, you see, David was actually going to battle against somebody who had entered his country illegally. You want to let people come into the country illegally and you call it your David moment? Well, that's at least ironic at the best. And furthermore, I can tell you where this guy goes to church. Here's his explanation of what a David moment is. This is you're going to go, wow, I've seen these sermons, but hardly do I ever hear somebody apply them to life. This is what he said. Many of us miss our David moment. Have you heard that sermon before? I have. Because we're trying to run away from confrontation and controversy. But your crowd lives in the middle of controversy. The thing that has been promised to you is surrounded by high walls, and the gates are guarded by giants. I think he might be confusing his Old Testament narratives. Nevertheless, if you're running from conflict and controversy, then you'll never get what's promised of you. This is our David moment. That just screams word faith to me. Furthermore, like so much in word faith, it is a bad use of the Bible. David actually confronted a guy who wanted to take over their country. This guy is protesting for the exact opposite. Quote, "When the congressman came to the gate, and I was like, Mayor, they said they're going to arrest you. That was a David moment. I could have gotten in the car and ran. I could have said, I'm getting out of here. Maybe they'll arrest me at work or at home or whatever. But I froze, not even actively or deliberately. My body froze like, this is it. You're supposed to be here. Whatever they going to do, they going to do it." Not only was that not a David moment, the grammar. Come on, Mr. Mayor. Would never find ironic stories like this if you don't send them to idea@wretched.org, or please text questions, comments, conundrum, snarks to 877-282-2337.
All right. We start out with Confused Mom. That's how she signed the email. Todd, almost a year and a half ago, my son told me he just wanted some space. He has refused to communicate with me, his dad, and his brother since that time.
Does she give herself a grade as to what kind of parent she was?
Nothing.
Nevertheless, I can rather definitively declare, Mom, that is not your fault. Your son is not behaving that way because of your parenting failures. your son is not choosing to dishonor you because you didn't buy him a new Louisville Slugger. His decisions are his decisions. Every parent sins. Every parent falls short. But if you have been a Christian parent who has faithfully tried to raise your kids, love, admonition, fear of the Lord, do not feel guilty for your son's sins. Having said that, let me perhaps encourage you further. You are not freakish. I'm telling you, you are not a deformed parent. You are actually standard fare these days. This trend, it has been going on now for years. I say social media is the primary culprit, although university public education contributes to it. It is the message and the method of social media. It's the message that says, you are so special, the entire universe should revolve around you. And if somebody gets up your nose, then cut them out of your lives. Give them boundaries. Build fences. That, by the way, is a trend in Christianity also. Nevertheless, this is going on because of the message of social media that says, you are a rock, you are an island, the whole world should affirm you. And if somebody doesn't, just cut them off. Furthermore, I think it's the method of social media which just fosters that. As we all enter into our own little curated world where I pick whatever I want, I swipe whatever I don't, I consume everything that is pleasing to me, I never do anything that's hard, I don't sit and watch, I don't know, like Pride and Prejudice for the 89th time because your wife wants to watch Pride and Prejudice again. None of that. Did I just let a cat out of the bag? No, you get to pick whatever you want. And I think it does nothing but support the message of social media. Planet, you captain. And anybody who confronts you, disagrees with you, contradicts you, and doesn't sing your praises from the rooftops, cut them out, even if they're your mom and dad. It is a tragic trend, and I have said this countless times. The church needs to counter it as much as possible. There was a sign not too far away from the ministry. It was a storage facility, and they put a message. It said, call your mom. Well, okay, I guess because it was Mother's Day last week, I guess it was still up there from that. Just the same. It's like, yeah, call your mom. Not just once a year. Honor your father and mother. I think that there is a sense amongst the younger generation that I think has been cultivated again on social media, that if your parents contradict you, I think that that's the slight that is felt because they're being toxic, because they aren't affirming and praising. But I also think a component of it is that this generation doesn't, in an effort to do adulting, if their parents in particular, any adult I think, but their parent in particular, if they contradict or try to correct or encourage or even just give wisdom, I think they feel it compromises their adulthood. And therefore they must reject it. Otherwise, they perceive that they will be in the position of being a child. And I think that's tragic. They've got so much wisdom for you. And they care so much about you. And this trend of ghosting parents, it is damaging to both parties. I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. We were just talking to a couple of people. They're not believers. And they were talking about this very same thing with their kids. They can't say anything. Okay. Let's in this instance, it's like, and I'm not, this isn't an exaggeration. They go over to see the kids and the wife had made cookies and the mom, the older mom, so I guess grandma, if you will, said, did you use butter or margarine? Hey, don't judge. I was just wondering if you use butter or margarine. That is just seen as a full frontal assault. The sensitivity is so high, and I think it's connected, again, to the message and the method of social media, along with a sense that being an adult means you can't have anybody older download anything, ask anything, or express any concern. And I, permit me to say this to you if you are young and you're ghosting your parents or you're just quietly putting up boundaries. You're building fences. You're robbing yourself. Nobody on this planet cares about you like mom and dad. They don't even come close. A parent, it is so built into their DNA to immediately think danger, to immediately think bad result, to immediately think not the wisest. Why? Because they have such a care for you. They don't do this with other kids. I doubt it. And unless your mom is Mrs. Kravitz, they're probably not putting their nose into every kid's business at church. In fact, I suspect that a kid at church who goes, you know, I was thinking about buying a Maserati because they got a loan program where you don't have to have any credit. You know what they're going to say? Oh, that's interesting. Time for church. You say that? Hold on. Wait a second. Just because they aren't checking your credit doesn't mean that it's a wise decision to buy a Maserati. Do you know what that's going to cost per month? Do you know what the insurance is on that? You're still going to have to pay taxes on that. Why the difference? Because they love you so. Don't ghost your parents. And mom, I'm sorry your son has. It's his loss. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Crotts, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you good?
Just another smell in here.
Oh, now a new one.
It's anticipation. This is Wretched Radio. It's got nothing to do with Carly Simon. You sent this article to idea@wretched.org. Oh, I can't wait. Book of Daniel, going to be hitting the big screen in new biblical epic from Spirit-filled team. I can't wait to hear an addition to the Bible. That's going to be very exciting when we get to hear new understandings, new nuances, new imaginations, and new words added to the Bible. I can hardly contain myself. Thanks for sending that to idea@wretched.org. Feel free to text if and you'd like, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Rebecca. Todd, do prayers have to be spoken aloud to be effective, or does writing them down count?
Yep. You can do both. You can do together. You can separate. You can think it. The Lord is omnipresent. He's omnipotent, and he is omniscient. He knows what's going on inside of your noggin. So if you don't want to pray out loud, don't. Want to pray out loud? Do. Want to write it down? It's just another form of communication. Want to sing your prayers? Knock yourself out. The Lord receives them because of Jesus. He takes them. He makes them pristine. He delivers them to the Father on your behalf. So whatever your form of communication is, in fact, I would even go this far. I wouldn't encourage this as a lifestyle of prayer, but I think that the Lord even knows your feelings when you're not articulating it. If you're spending time with the Lord in prayer, something heavy, something hard is going on, and you're communicating without actually articulating, Lord, my heart is heavy. I think he gets that too, because, well, he's a lot more omniscient than we are. If you struggle with prayer, let me do a shout out for Praying the Scriptures by Ken Boa. Super helpful. If you struggle with a wandering brain during prayer, Ken Boa, Praying the Scriptures. We still have it in the Wretched Store. While the Wretched Store is actually open. Hey, have I told you about the Truth Unhindered campaign? I should, because this is so exciting. We're going to do something pretty radical for a ministry. We're going to stop selling everything. The store is still open right now, but our desire is to replace store revenue from gospel partners so that we can give everything away in the future. How cool is that? And so we have a Truth Unhindered campaign. It's a match campaign, $250,000 match campaign. And I don't think we're halfway there yet. I don't think. But we're getting there, courtesy of you. If you would like to join us in giving away all of our, I hope, theologically sound resources around the globe, because we're not just closing the store and saying, come and get it, it's all free. We're going to go find people and let them know, come and get it, it's free. We're actually going to market and let the world know, and even find bad churches and let them know, hey, would you like some free stuff? Because we want to see them use it. And so courtesy of our gospel partners, we are hoping we're going to be able to do that. In the meantime, you can get Ken Boas Praying the Scriptures if you'd like to help us close the store. FortisInstitute.org/truth. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
All right. This is from, Todd, this is from you. Todd, did you write yourself?
Maybe. I have conversations.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Todd. Horoscopes are so broad in the writing that it could apply to anyone at any time. How is the DSM-5 any different?
Not much. That's a great comment. Those Todds, I'm telling you, they are special breed, aren't they? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Rob. Todd, is once saved, always saved biblical? A lot of Christians argue this point by saying that you could be saved, but you will lose it if you sin and have to ask for forgiveness again.
No. And I'm not saying no, because I think that you're a dodo because you believe that you can lose your salvation. I say no, because I know what it does to people when they think that they can. And frankly, That should horrify all of us. If you happen to be one of the individuals who believes that you can lose your salvation, think it through, that your eternity now relies on your ability to persevere. That would scare me, because I would lose it in a second. I'm weak. I'm pathetic. I'm not strong. I would definitely lose it. And you'd have to ask yourself the question, well, what does it mean to lose it? And you get into all those sorts of rather difficult discussions based on feelings and loose definitions. I just think that the consequence of the doctrine that you can lose your salvation is frightening, and it can be so devastating. But that isn't why I fall on the other side, which is that once you're saved, you're forever saved. You are going to persevere. If you are the Lord's, you are in his hand. Nobody can snatch you out. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So why do I fall on that side? Is it pragmatic? No. It's the number of Bible verses. I weigh them. Take a look at all of the Bible verses that talk about whether you're going to persevere if you're in Christ, or that appear to say that you can lose it. Just put them all out there and then start to separate them. And here's what I think you see. I see that you've got way more verses that talk about you can't lose your salvation, and those verses are really emphatic. They're really super clear that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And then Paul gives a laundry list in Romans 8, nothing, 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 nothing. And so I weigh those, and it easily outweighs the Bible verses that look like you can lose your salvation. So now what do I do? I do need to look at those Bible verses and figure out then what are they saying in light of the fact that they can't be saying you can lose your salvation. If you happen to be one of the people who believes that you can lose your salvation, I don't think you're a moron. I really don't. I see it. I understand why you might come to that conclusion. But I would encourage you to take a look at all of the Bible verses that talk about saints persevering in Christ because he's strong. I'm weak and pathetic. He's mighty to save. And he completes the work that he began in us. And that he gives us immediately upon salvation eternal life, not temporal life and not conditional life, but eternal life. And I would encourage you to take a look at all of those verses, conclude biblically you can't lose your salvation, and then rejoice in that. It is exceedingly good news that my eternity is not based on my efforts, my strengths, my works, my abilities, anything good that I might do. No, my salvation is secure because it is in the unchanging, the immutable one, Jesus Christ. That's very good news. 877-282-2337.
All right, Tom, this is from Anonymous, a text. Are all elders supposed to be preaching and teaching? If there's a plurality of elders, one being on staff, the rest not being paid staff members, is it a requirement that they all preach and teach?
Well, you've got so many. I don't know how you heard that email, but there was so much in there. Mm. I mean, there was like 60 layers in there. First of all, anybody who's qualified to be an elder is qualified because they can preach and teach. Every elder must be able to preach and teach. It's simply a qualification. Now, how often do they do that? I say let each local church figure that out. Every church has different needs, strengths, weaknesses, etc. So get that sorted in the context of your local church. And I wouldn't judge you for it, but every elder should be qualified to preach and to teach. Now, as far as getting into like paid staff and who does the preaching and the teaching, again, I would simply put that on that is the decision of the local church. There's a continuity in having one person preach. There really is. If you believe in expository preaching book by book, and to have different men preaching through the same book, it's probably going to feel a little discombobulating to people because of different emphases, different styles. I just everybody preaches so different when it comes to every single text. So I think that would be confusing to alternate everybody. I think that the continuity indicates that it's good to have one guy who does most of the preaching But I don't think that means that he's the only guy that does the preaching, whether he is paid or not. You want to have an interesting dinner conversation? Here's one for you. The paid pastor, the guy who, well, however many elders you had, the paid pastor, what are you paying him for? Go ahead, discuss. What are you paying him for? Now, before you answer that question, you've got to ask the Bible, what is the role of the pastor? But then you've also got some wisdom issues. You've got some practical issues. For instance, you've got 10 elders. One of them is paid. 9 of them go to work all day. Is it reasonable that the paid pastor who doesn't have to have a 40-hour a week job to pick up some duties because they're needed and the other guys don't have the time? Or is it simply his job to preach the word? That is it. And we're paying him for that. Nothing more, nothing less. Go ahead. Discuss. This is Wretched Radio.